God is good. And all the time. Praise be to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. His inheritance is kept for heaven, kept in heaven for you. Won't you please rise if you're able? Disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
I see the old has passed away. The new
should all know, Isaiah's ministry lasted from approximately 740 B.C. to 700 B.C. So listen to these words prophesied by God's servant Isaiah about the suffering and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have heard, they will understand. The Lamb is the only one that can open the scroll of life and begin the process at the end of days. So worthy is the Lamb. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he is our everything.
Thank you.
Won't you please be seated? Brothers and sisters, won't you read with me the responsive reading, Revelation 1, 9 through 17. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that was in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see that voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like and white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Amen. So John responds to the vision of the glorified Christ appropriately by falling at his feet in awe as though dead. Placing his right hand on John, Jesus soothes his fears by introducing himself with a series of descriptive titles expressing his victory over death. As the first and the last, he is the eternal one who has control over the beginning and conclusion of human history. His resurrection is a complete victory over death, because not only will he never die again, he also now holds the keys to death and Hades as master and king over it. Those in Christ will have no fear because death is swallowed up in his victory. Amen.
This is the picture of the risen Christ. This is who we worship. In fact, at the end of that passage, it says that he walks among his churches. He's here. He's our unseen guest. I have to tell you one thing, that it's an honor to have Madeline here today to celebrate her first Easter with us. And since Easter is the time of the celebration of new life, it's precious. She was looking at me while I was playing drums, and I'm saying, I hope I'm not bothering your ears, yeah? But it's great to have Mom and Dad here too, but you know how that goes with the baby. So wonderful to have Madeline here with us today for her first Easter. As we continue the service, let me just get organized here. Okay. Anybody who's going to help with the offering today, if you would come up. And I want to just have a word of prayer with you. And my prayer is simply this, that as we continue from this day in the celebration of the resurrection of God, that the Holy Spirit would reignite in his church, including us, the desire to tell people that Jesus loves them and died for them so that we might be forgiven by simple faith. It's a simple message. And if that has happened to you, all you have to do is tell your story of how that happened. And God can use it in miraculous ways. Well, you know, one of the things as a pastor, I can't tell you how many people over the last 2 weeks or so said, oh, we're coming to the service. We're coming to the service. And these are not people These are people who are not here usually. And I don't know if they're being nice or they're trying to make me feel good, but they'll say, oh, yeah, we're coming on Easter. We're coming on Easter. And it just happens every year, and I see none of them. And the reason why I'm telling you this is simply because we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people out there who need to know Christ. And our work simply is to go make disciples. That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. And, you know, when they tell me this, I say, well, you're more than welcome. Come, you know, just you don't have to dress up fancy. I do. But, you know, you don't have to dress up fancy. Just come as you are. And be blessed by the presence of God. And, you know, inevitably something comes up. Something comes up, right? This is the highest holy day for the church. Jesus is alive. He's alive. So would you pray with me? I'm going to start a series in 1 Thessalonians starting next week. About what a biblical church looks like, because Paul does that in Thessalonians, and you might be surprised. You might be surprised. So as we start to develop that through the rest of the spring and maybe into early summer, my prayer is that God can help us along in our journey to say, okay, this is what he expects of us. Lord, help us then to be obedient by faith and do it. So we have a lot going on. Sometime after the holidays, we'll let you know about the summer schedule, keep you updated on, we have to talk about Sight and Sound again and summer lunch ministries and a lot of that. So stay tuned, as the announcer would say, stay tuned. Same time, same bat station, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for these dear people who are here. Thank you for continuing to work in our lives, even when we least expect it. Thank you for the comfort and the assurance that the resurrection brings to us. Thank you for our new life in Christ. Thank you for our salvation, which too many times we take for granted. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for getting us here safely. And thank you for the next breath that we take. Father, we give to the work of the kingdom. There's a lot of work to do. And Father, we want to glorify you. Help us to do that. Help us to be good stewards of the funds and resources that you supply. Bless the gift and the giver. We give now of our tithes and offerings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning at sunrise. Yeah, at sunrise. It was good. Some of the great hymns have great theology, and we were the beneficiaries of that this morning. And so we left off Friday, and I played the video. Joey, you may want to cut the feed while we play the video. Andrew, you need to cut the feed too while we play the video, then continue it again. I want to play it for you because Friday was a dark day. Some Christian theologians actually call Friday Black Friday because it looked like Satan won. It looked like the world was winning, the sinful world. It looked like good was being defeated by evil. And Satan was sitting and laughing. He was sitting and laughing. So I'm going to let the video explain for itself. If you can cue it up, and, you know, it's painful. And I don't want to minimize that. But yet, what I think happens, even in the Christian church, is that, you know, loss, whether it's getting laid off from a job, you know, losing a loved one, God forbid we have a couple here who lost a house in a fire, right? It doesn't change the fact that Jesus is alive. And it doesn't change the fact that because he's alive, we can face whatever comes. Doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant, but it does mean he'll get us through it. He'll get us through it in his way and for his glory, not the way we necessarily want it. And that's a big misconception in the church today. We want a Jesus who's Santa Claus, right? Or we want a Jesus who's Monty Hall. Let's make a deal, Jesus, right? Jesus works without deals. He doesn't say choose between door one, door two, door three. He simply says this: follow me. Trust me. Can we all agree that a lot can happen in a week? Right? Can we all agree a lot can happen in 3 days? Certainly did at Good Friday to Easter. Can we all agree that a lot can happen even in one day? We all know that, right? None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. As my brother used to say, just, you know, be grateful you don't wake up dead. And, you know, as much of kidding went on with that, it's a gift from God. Even though tomorrow might be difficult, it's a gift from God. And we can face whatever tomorrow brings because the grave is empty. I can't emphasize that enough. That was the basis, of course, for the Gaithers, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. The more mileage we get under our belts, the more God proves himself that if we are faithful to him, even through the difficult times, he will get us through in a way that brings honor to him and glory to him. Well, you may say, Pastor, hey, you know, what honor and glory did the cross bring to Jesus? You know, he was crucified. He did nothing wrong. You're right. Did nothing wrong. But that cross paid for our salvation in full. Once and for all. Never has to be done again. Paid for our salvation. He endured the full wrath of his Father on the cross for those 3 hours of darkness. He endured it. Eternity of hell and wrath that we deserve. I heard one of the, I can't even remember if it was Elon Musk or Bezos or one of the millionaires. They got talking about heaven and hell. And, you know, kind of kidding, whoever it was said, well, I know I'm going to hell and I'm okay with that because my friends are going to be there. Yeah, we'll be smoking cigars, you know, playing poker, you know, that whole thing. And I'm saying, you have no idea what you're saying. If you don't know Jesus, you are going to hell. And Jesus is not sending you there, you're sending yourself. Because he gives you opportunity to trust him. Hell is a place of eternal suffering. It's a place of eternal isolation. It's a place of no hope of ever seeing God, ever seeing his salvation. It's a bad place. By the same token, as we come to Easter, you know, this is a time that a lot of people will go to visit the graves of loved ones. And I understand that. You need to do that. You know, it's a way of remembering. But I can tell you this. If that loved one knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're not in the grave. They're with their Savior. They're with their Savior. That's pretty neat. Nothing because of anything they did, just simply because they took God at his word and believed that Jesus died for them. Along with that comes repentance and sin. I remember someone had criticized me some years ago. My parents are buried up in North Arlington, close to where you guys came from. I guess it's Sacred Heart or Holy Rosary Cemetery. Holy Cross, that's it. And after I came to know the Lord, I never went to visit the grave. Not that I don't remember the parents, but they're not there. They're not there. Now, if you do that, there's nothing wrong with it. I want to be very clear about it. For some people, it keeps that remembrance and connection, and that's fine. But because of the resurrection, we have hope. We have the sure hope of knowing that whenever it is that God calls us home, we're going to be with him. We're not going to be in the grave. You see, because the grave couldn't contain Jesus. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And more than that, he conquered Satan. Really incredible when you think about it. I want to look at an account with you from, not Revelation, that's a mistake. I should have taken that down. But this is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. I'll bring you through this quickly. This is the account of that first Sunday. How do I know it was Sunday? Because it was the first day of the week. The first day of the week. That is Sunday. In the Jewish mind, that is Sunday. And so for us, it is Sunday. The passage that Chip read for you before from Revelation said this. On the first day of the week, Sunday, John worshiped God in the Spirit. And God gave him this great revelation. When we worship on Sundays, God is able to minister to us where we are. It's amazing. Bear in mind, the disciples were confused. They were confused. They were discouraged. All hope had gone. Their beloved master was dead. See, in the back of their minds, they thought the master would come and defeat all of Israel's political and military enemies. And they didn't realize from Isaiah and Daniel and many other prophecies that the Messiah had to suffer. And he had to die because he came to save us from sin. And so you have this going on. Early in the morning, the women took spices. They had prepared and went to the tomb. That is important. They prepared it through the grief. And they're grieving here. Through the grief, they took the time and they prepared the spices to give Jesus a Jewish burial, if you will. And they made the effort to go to the tomb, not knowing how they were going to move that boulder in front of the tomb, not knowing what they would find, because I'm not even sure they knew there were guards at the tomb. And they were confused and bewildered, but they went. That's important. how many times we can get confused and bewildered by life. But we need to go to Jesus. We should run to him in those times, right? Let's look at what happened. This is really a passage of encouragement. He says they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. Wow. God took care of it. In another gospel, we read there was an earthquake, and the angel came down and rolled the stone away. Now, I want to be very clear here. The stone didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus to be resurrected out of the tomb. He would have been resurrected even if the stone was in place. This was done for the benefit of us. Gabish? And here's why. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Here's what they found, and I'll give you some pieces of the other gospel. They looked in, they saw the grave clothes very neatly laid out on the slab or table, whatever it was, along with the headpiece, undisturbed, except Jesus' body wasn't in it. Well, Herod and Pilate and the guards would want you to believe that the disciples stole the body. There was no evidence of that. No evidence of that. They entered the tomb and did not find the Lord Jesus. This had to be, in my estimation, this had to be the lowest they felt. You know, because he deserved a burial. Where'd you take him? Who took him? What's going on? While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. These are angels. Right? How gracious God is. He can send his ministers of mercy to people who are discouraged. Before I go on to how this transpired, let me just pose something to you. If you disagree with it, that's fine. I would suggest to you that in our time of need, or can I say in our many times of need through life, God sends ministers of mercy to us, and we miss them because we're not looking for it. And you know, they say hindsight is always better. You may think back and say, Lord, how great it was that this person called me, wrote a note to me, just asked me how I was doing. Listen, when anybody's going through a tough time, the last thing they want to hear is you with platitudes or just rotely reciting scripture. They know the scripture. You know what they need? They need an ear. They need an arm around them. And they need to be cried with. They need to be listened to. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, why do you look for the living among the dead? I'm glad, personally, today, that we don't have to celebrate the resurrection in a cemetery. How awkward would that be? And even if Jesus was buried in that cemetery, he's not there. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Our culture does this all the time. They look in the wrong places for their hope. And all other avenues are dead ends. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, pornography. I mean, I can go on and on. They're all dead ends. They all bring death. This is a question that we all have to answer. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Let me just say this. One of the things that can help us through tough times is the Word of God. Because the Word of God will help us to remember the promises of God. And the promises of God will help get us through whatever we're facing, no matter how bad it is. Here's the problem. I don't know if you realize this, but here I have the Bible, the Word of God, in my hand. It has been for years and still is the number one bestseller in this country. In fact, week after week, it's the number one book sold. And I forget the service that lists, you know, what's the number one book and all. They stopped doing it. They says it's nonsense because they always win, right? But here's the problem. It's the least read. That's a fact. It's the least read. Here's the reminder of the hope we have in the risen Christ. Here's the reminder of how great God can move when we are obedient to Him and trust Him. This is the reminder of the promises of God. This is the reminder of the promise of the resurrection. This is the reminder that one day, if you and I have put our trust in Jesus Christ, that there's going to be a mansion waiting for us in heaven. A mansion. You know it's going to be great? I don't have to pay taxes. If you live in Lacey, the taxes are going nuts and the school wants more. None of that in heaven. We have the King of Kings, who grew up as a carpenter's apprentice, by the way, preparing a place for us. That's his promise. It's in here. There was a woman years ago. They called her the Wicked Witch of Wall Street. And her name was Hetty, and I can't remember her last name. But she lived in New York City, and she earned the name the Wicked Witch of Wall Street. I'll tell you why. She lived very modestly. She had a coal stove in the house. She used to use that for heat only if it was bitterly cold. If not, she put on coats and all because she didn't want to pay for the wood. She ate all her food cold because she didn't want to pay for the wood. This is a true story. You can look this up. One day, her nephew went to live with her for some reason, and he got a staph infection in his leg, and she refused to take him to the doctor. It cost too much money. Unfortunately, he lost his leg, right? Then the unthinkable happened. That we get crazy sometimes in our thinking, right? The unthinkable happened. New York City required dog licenses for your pets. 50 cents. She moved to Jersey because she didn't want to pay it. This is true. When she died, they went through her belongings. They found her savings book. She had $1 million. It's a true story. You can look it up. Back then, $1 million was a lot of money. Still a lot of money today. But back then, even more. This was at the turn of the century, right? In this book, this is our bank book. In the beginning chapters of Ephesians, it tells us we're rich beyond anything we can imagine because we are in Christ. Problem is, we got to open the bank book once in a while to see how rich we really were, are, and will be. God sends encouragement when we need it. And through His Word, He encourages us. You know the rest of the story. I'm not going to belabor it. Easter was the place, not only for the women. And by the way, the women were sharp. A lot sharper than the men were. Sorry, men, but it's true. They got it faster than the men. They were sharp. But The empty tomb was the place where God is able to turn grief into joy, where he's able to turn mourning into joy, not happiness. There's a difference. Happiness says we want something to turn out a certain way, and if it doesn't, we get all grumpy, right? That's not it. Joy that comes from God, and it could only come from God, says no matter what, I take joy in the fact that I'm a child of the King. Not because of anything I did, but because Jesus died for me. And he lives. And he walks with me. And if I stay faithful with the help of the Holy Spirit to his word and be obedient to what he commands, he can do marvelous things. Not the things that I want, but the things that will glorify him. I used this morning the illustration of David Ring. How many of you ever heard of David Ring, right? David Ring was born with cerebral palsy, long story short. All through his life, including his own family, except for his mom and one sister, he came from a big family. Because David couldn't talk well, he had problems walking. If he even held a glass of water, he couldn't even drink it because by the time he got it to his mouth, it was all poured out from his shaking, right? And his sister did a wise thing one night. David was in high school, as I recall it. She took him to a church evening service. We don't even have evening services anymore, and that's a shame. The Sunday night service was designed as an outreach where you can bring friends who might be curious about the Lord or want to know more. At that Sunday night service, the pastor gave an invitation to come to Christ. David responded, gave his life to Christ. He said, in his words, Lord, I can't even talk. I can't even say my name. But I know you died for me, and you love me. The educators in his life, the doctors in his life, told him he would never amount to anything. That he would never be able to have a family and have kids. Well, it happens that David and I are the same age. He's 73 now. I can tell you he's got 8 kids. He's got a lovely wife. He's got grandkids that he fully enjoys. And I can tell you to this day, he's booked around the country to speak at churches to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he does it in a unique way. It takes you about 3 to 5 minutes to begin to understand him when he talks. But once you connect, God uses him tremendously. And he would tell about the obstacles he faced. He says, I went to college, and I fit 4 years in college into 6. They said he couldn't do it. Then he said, the Lord's calling me to seminary. And his spiritual advisor said, David, it's rigorous. It's a 3-year master's. It's intense. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. He went because he knew God was calling him. He did it. And then the last thing he figured was that he would be called to preach. A man who can hardly talk, be called to preach. And to this day, he's still doing it. See, the empty tomb is a place of hope. God didn't take away his disabilities. But because David was obedient by faith and trusted God, David's disability was used for the glory of the kingdom of God. And he would say, I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? Listen, Easter's a great day. It's not just a time to pig out on candy. It's not a time to, pig out on a great meal, although this point, I'm looking forward to it. But it's a time of celebration. We serve a God who's alive. He's not in the grave. I said this morning at the park, every movement of, I'll call them a religion, right? Every religion that was started, the head of that religion is still in the grave. Jesus is the only one not in the grave. And let me just, in closing, explain to you the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is man's attempt to reach God through rituals, through legalistic rules, through all sorts of things we think we can earn God's love. That's, the Bible says you can't. But that's religion. Look what I can do. Look what I did. God's got to love me now. I go to, you know, I go to church 3 times a day. I do this. I do. It doesn't work that way. Christianity is God reaching down to man through Jesus Christ. That's why the cross is so important. That's why faith is so important. Because there's nothing you and I can do to make God love us. Jesus had to die and make things right between me and God for that to happen. Nothing I did. All I did was trust him. That's all you need to do too. That's the hope of the resurrection. So I hope we can celebrate Easter and say, okay, Lord, thank you. Help me never to take my salvation for granted. I didn't deserve it in the first place. Help me begin to grasp a little piece of what it cost for you to go to the cross and take my sin on. I don't know if we fully appreciate that. He bore the full brunt of hell to pay for our sin once and for all. Never has to be repeated again. One of the greatest choruses ever written, and most theologians agree with this, by the way. Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. So, Melissa, would you come up? Chip? Excuse the hammering. They're getting ready to open up the dog grooming salon. Maybe I should go there for haircuts. There's going to be a day, just like Jesus came the first time and died and rose again, there'll come a day where he's going to come again. But this time he's going to come as the risen Christ, as a warrior, not a savior. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My prayer is that we're found in Christ when that happens. I hope that's your prayer too. Would you stand, please?
Rise to
Can we say our God is great?
God is great.
And God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Let's pray. Father, would you bless each one? We've had two great services this morning to honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you dismiss us in the power of the Holy Spirit and give us opportunity to share the love of Christ with others as we go on through the days that you give us. Father, bless each one. Bring us to our destination safely and help us through the day. Give you glory and honor because our Savior lives. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Not bad. Have a great day.